course, we will be on this subject here all day today. What the United States Senate did or did not do yesterday. I feel like I ought to spend the most part of the program today, since yesterday afternoon and this morning, I spent about 2 hours reading up on the impeachment clause, because I want to know. I'm not surprised by what I found or what I reminded myself, because I had most certainly read some of this before. But one thing jumps out. Okay, we need to go back to cases here. First of all, show of hands, does anyone give a rat's furry behind about any of this? Or should we just talk about inflation and the World Economic Forum taking over the planet? I think we should talk a little history, but that's just me. Show of hands by donation in the chat room, crusadechannel.com/chat. When the men that we call founding fathers were ratifying or were debating the Constitution, this is the most amazing thing. I don't think that there's anyone alive that's actually capable of doing this, what they did. I mean that. If you start in, there is a publication called, I'll start at the beginning. There is a publication called Farrands, F-A-R-R-A-N-D-S, Farrands Records of the Federal Convention of 1787. There's four volumes. I own all four volumes. They're in the library packed away for the the move out of here into Walsingham West. But I have all four volumes. This guy's name was Max Farrand, and in the 19th century, toward the end of the 19th century, he thought it might be interesting if he gathered all of the documentary evidence that he could from this thing that most of you incorrectly call the Constitution Convention of 1787 that produced the Constitution. And so he started gathering after James Madison's notes were published. Now, Madison's notes would not be published until he died in 1828 or 29. And there's one of his dying, or it was in his will, that you could take the Federalist Papers that he wrote and then the notes that he kept on the Convention of 1787. And he also had in his possession, he had, I want to say he had McHenry's or somebody else's notes. He had two sets of notes. And he said when he died, you could go ahead and publish these things, but be prudent about it. Now, this is an interesting question. Why didn't he want them published while he was alive? And he kind of got short, upended here a bit, because when Hamilton died, Hamilton had left a note in his library that upon his death, were it not planned, scheduled, and scripted, so he could leave other instructions, upon his death, he had in his library, he had a book, a big volume, and he had taken his original handwritten manuscripts for the what we call today the Federalist Papers, and he had stuck them in this one book. And then he had left a little tiny note in another book that he knew or he thought that his wife would find after he died. And as she would open it up, go, oh, this was Alex's favorite book. She'd open the first page, the note would fall out. It'd say, hey, go get this volume. There's a surprise inside. And she'll say, there were Hamilton's Federalist Papers. But what else was in that book was Hamilton's notes that he took at the Federal Convention before he left. In July of 1787. So we have evidence, we have all this like evidence and stuff. So anyone that says we can't possibly know what the framers meant about this, that, or the other is either A, woefully misinformed, or B, is a liar. Knows that that's not true, just chooses to lie about it. Most people fall in the first group. The members of the House of Representatives and the Senate fall in the second group. We can't possibly, you know, do it. No one knows what high crimes and misdemeanors means. Bull. Absolute freaking bull. We almost know exactly and precisely what a high crime and misdemeanor is, which is why I began with Max Farren's records, the Federal Convention, because they took notes as they were putting together this thing we call here I got my pocket copy here, the Constitution of the United States. As they were putting it together, as they were debating, there's people were sitting there and were taking notes. Madison took great notes. Madison could write what we call shorthand today. So, and he took furious, like 100 pages of notes. Anyway, why do I bring this up? The impeachment clause. Remember I talked yesterday about how solemnly Marjorie Taylor Greene and the House managers walked the impeachment, articles of impeachment over from the House of Representatives side of the Capitol to the Senate and presented it, and President Pro Tem of the Senate announced that the House managers had arrived, and then they read into the record the two articles of impeachment. And then today or yesterday, the trial of Mayorkas was supposed to start. What do you have when you have a trial? Witnesses and documents. Witnesses and documents. Remember this? But a funny thing, a tragic funny thing, happened on the way to witnesses and documents. Schmuckel Schumer and the party of death decided that they didn't want to have a trial of Mayorkas. They couldn't be bothered. And so Schumer invented a new clause in the Constitution, which might read that the impeachment power shall be solely vested in the Congress of the United States or the House of Representatives, but the Senate has to agree with the findings before a trial will be held, because that's what they did. This is so egregious, and just so looking at the American sheriffs out here and what's happening at the southern border and who's responsible for it. This is basically Biden and his gang holding their middle finger up and just going like, blank you. We don't care. None of us are ever going to atone for or pay for what we did. And certainly not Alejandro Mayorkas. So Mayorkas is cleared. If you're wondering what the end result of this is, he's acquitted. Basically. No trial, no proclamation, no real acquittal. But, we looked at your little articles of impeachment and, we decided against it. We're not gonna have a trial. We don't agree with you. This is not a power that is left to the U.S. Senate. As a matter of fact, I can prove it because it was debated. The framers started debating the impeachment clause. One of the first things they started debating is, well, what if we get bad apples in this new government that we're going to create? How do we get rid of them? Yeah, how do we get rid of them? That was a good question. And they argued about it for 3 months. Well, one thing that is clear and just as clear as it could possibly be, the term dereliction of duty was the first term they used to describe what a high crime and misdemeanor was. That's exactly what Alejandro Mayorkas was accused of and impeached for by the House of Representatives. So anyone that said, well, they didn't have good charges against him, they didn't do it. No. And the Constitution didn't give the authority and the power. Yes, it does. They may not have ended up with the term dereliction of duty, but the entire 3 months of that summer, that's every time they talked about impeachment. I tweeted all this out today on a tweet storm, 15 or 20 tweets, that you could see it in Farren's records, actually. Every time they talked about impeachment, someone brought up dereliction of duty as one of the causes that would drive someone to impeachment. So for anyone to say that, well, the House didn't do this and the Senate was correct. No, the Senate was not correct. It was so bad that even Mitchard McConnell, no friend to the Constitution or to freedom, liberty, and all the other usual things that we throw into that sentence or paragraph, Mitch McConnell spoke out against his buddy Schmuckles Schumer and said the world was going to rue the day that we do this. That we are going to regret going down this road, because they basically wrote an amendment, ratified it, and then acted upon it. That's how egregious. Not that previous Congress haven't done that. They've been writing amendments for 200 some odd years. They just call them acts. This is, I think, the most egregious one. This tells you, folks, secede, secede, secede.